This is always an exciting start to the year to have our testimony time. So we trust you're looking forward to it as much as I am, as I've been chatting with people. And I want to thank people for responding. Some responded with an arm up their backs, a little bit of encouragement. Some responded almost overwhelmingly. But and sadly, I've had to say no to one or two people because we've had so many now, which is so good, isn't it? We want to thank God for that. Just want to remind you of an incident in Mark 5 where Jesus healed a demon-possessed man, and this demon-possessed man wanted to go with Jesus and go on to what else Jesus was going to do. But Jesus said to him, go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. You know, a rather liberal translation of Psalm 66 says, come and listen, all you who fear God, and I will tell you of what he did for me. And that's the theme of our morning. You know, telling how much the Lord has done for us, telling each other of just how great God's been over this year. Now, I'm fortunate enough, being in leadership, to hear some of your stories already. And so I get excited when I hear of some of the things that God has been doing. But this is a chance to increase our faith. And we've got 8 people going to share their testimonies this morning. So I've warned them, they've got 4 minutes each, and we have a button here, I don't know where it is, I'll find it somewhere, which makes them go down to the basement, or we could beam them up, Scotty, and end them up in space to that space station where the fellow from Chichester School is. But we want to ask folk to try and keep it as short as possible, so we have time for 8 people, because it'd be a shame to say to the last one, sorry, so-and-so spoke too long, and there's no room for you. We don't want that to happen. We've already had to say no to some. And then we are going to listen and rejoice with them at God's goodness in a time of, and afterwards we're going to have a time of worship. We cut this worship, as you notice, a little short, so we can have some more worship afterwards, because we know that all their testimonies are going to encourage us and excite us to what God's done. And don't forget, what God has done for them, God can do for you and for me. So that's the excitement of a time like this morning. So I've got little groups of people to come up, not all together, but one at a time. The first group, it's been so exciting this year, or this past year, to see new people joining our church, to see people being born again, being baptized, and becoming part of our church family. And the first person we're going to ask up is Nina. Where's Nina? There we are, Nina. Come up. Give her a clap. I want to encourage you to give them as much encouragement as possible, because it's scary up here in front of you lot giving a testimony. You're all lovely and you're all smiling so sweetly, but I tell you, it's scary. I know. Okay, Nina. If you want to use this one or this one? No, no. Do you want me to hold it for you?
Is that all right?
Okay.
Do you mind?
Then I can whip the notes.
It's scary.
Right,
that's a good idea. My life felt a bit lost and I felt like I was falling. Everything I did seemed to make it worse. I prayed to God to change my life. He did just that. He gave me a church, new friends and people to give advice and rely upon, and a strong new faith. Walking through the doors of Grace Church has all been down to Jesus' plan for me. He's caught me and through love and patience has put me back together. I have always had a fear of being on my own, which is really hard to say out loud, but this is no longer the case. I gave up that fear to Jesus and it's now gone. I feel total peace. When you hear about he will make changes in your life, most people think that you don't need to change, but he changes you for the better, and I wouldn't go back. One of the things that Jesus has worked on with me is trust, something that I had badly broken for me. He started on small things, getting me to trust him and have faith. I was due to meet friends with new car park change, which I didn't have. I heard his voice loud and clear to go anyway. I agreed in my head, thinking he has no idea, obviously, how ferocious the car park attendants are. When I got to the car park, I was immediately handed a ticket by someone leaving. I did have to give a smile. When I have given church donations, when I have little to give that week, he tells me to trust him and give anyway. Strangely, during the week, someone pays my invoices early or something turns up for us. I'm now proud to call myself a Christian, and my outlook has changed, especially how I see Christmas and the new year. Jesus spoke to me on New Year's Eve when I was idly thinking about resolutions for 2016 and thinking about how bad my start was of 2015 and how bleak things looked, and I heard not to be too hard on myself. I'm quite critical of myself and I make lists. The trouble is, if you add too many things to the list, you set yourself an impossible task of getting to the bottom. It's hard not to put many expectations and measures on the coming year, and when all around you is encouraging you just to do that. My 2016 resolution from hearing that from Jesus is to simply grow my relationship with him, work on my trust wholeheartedly, and know that everything will fall into place. I've grown so much, and I can't wait for 2016 and what I can achieve with Jesus. This year, I'm excited and happy and eager for 2016. This is all down to Jesus. I know my future with him is going to be great. Cheryl put on her Facebook page a quote that seems to sum everything up. I may not be where I want to be, but I thank God I am not where I used to be.
Praise God. Hang on. Hang on. That's great, isn't it? I've got to just pray for Cheryl that God will change her even more. Nina. It's because she said Cheryl. Okay. Let's pray for Nina that God would really bless her in this new year. Father, we just want to say thank you for this wonderful testimony. Thank you, Lord, for the way you've brought such wonderful change into her life and encouraged her. And Lord, we pray that 2016 will be an ever better year, Lord, an even better year, Lord. And I want to pray you will mightily bless her and her three girls now as they go into this new year in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Thank you. Thank you, Nina. So great. Okay. That's great, isn't it? Where's Izzy? Izzy. Isabella, come.
Mine's very tiny, so you can not worry at all. As I look back over the last year, I'm filled with love from the Holy Spirit. I have come so far. I attend church every Sunday with my daughter. It's so important to us. It's made us a stronger person in ourselves and together in the relationship we've joined. Learning to live more like Jesus. I also meet up with friends from church and do so for a Bible study to encourage me to learn Jesus' lessons. And I really feel the ability to pray has come on leaps and bounds. I leave feeling filled with knowledge and encouragement. As I was reminded by Jeremiah, the Lord says, I know the plan I have for you. They are plans of good and not disaster, to give to you a future and a hope. I hold on to this as I have my faith in the Lord, and I enjoy that whatever he has in plan for me, I will enjoy the new year.
Yeah. Father, thank you for that wonderful promise that you know the plans you have for us for good and not for evil, to give us a future and a hope. Thank you for bringing Isabella into our church family. Thank you for the fellowship we can enjoy. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together. And we want to pray, Lord, that 2016 will be a tremendous blessing for Izzy, Isabella and her family. And that, Lord, you will really take them into even greater things, Lord, as you use her. I pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isabella. So it's been good to welcome these new people into our church. And no matter how long we've been Christians, God still wants to help us, meet with us and change us and bless us. So these were new Christians, and now we're going to have a few testimonies from those who've been Christians for a number of years, how God is still blessing them and meeting with them. Where's Val? Val and her mum. Come, Val. Going to have a bit of translation here as well.
Hi, this is my twin. she looks younger, definitely. where to start? I was raised with my dad, like all of most of you know. I grew up without my mom, and during the summer, I went to France, and I had been back in contact with my mom after 5 years. And when we were in France, it's been an absolute brilliant breakthrough. My mom and dad have been divorced for 44 years and hadn't talked to each other for 44 years. And this summer, they started to talk. They've been on video time. My mom went to see my dad where he lives. She stayed a weekend, spent a weekend with him. And now they can't stop talking to each other. They speak to each other 3 times a day. And I even have to queue up for to be able to talk to my dad. But that's what God's done for me this year, something that I've never thought that could happen, having my mom and dad speaking to each other again. Right, now my mom's going to give you a little testimony. I'm going to have to translate for her.
C'est difficile. Ouais, tu... Non, non, non. Depuis, je suis venue très souvent chez Val, mais jamais j'avais ressenti le besoin de venir vers la religion.
She's been many times to our house. We took her to church before when we were in Chichester before. But she never felt the desire or the need to turn herself to any kind of religion.
Et au mois de septembre, je suis revenue. Là, je suis venue ici et j'ai ressenti quelque chose de très fort.
In September, she came here for the first time when we had the minister from India. And when she came, she felt something quite strong.
C'est peut-être le fait que j'ai été libérée de beaucoup de choses, que je ressentais le besoin de m'avancer vers les autres. Et j'étais libre.
She said she probably felt that she was freed from lots of things that she happened to her in the past, and she was free to go towards different people as well.
Et maintenant, je suis très heureuse et très contente d'en être arrivée où je suis. Il ne me reste qu'une étape à franchir. C'est me donner au Seigneur en me faisant baptiser par immersion et ce sera la continuité du chemin.
She said now what she wants to do is to give her life completely to God and the next step basically is to get baptized.
Okay. Okay, we're going to pray for Val and Daniela. Father, we just thank you for this lovely testimony. We thank you for you heal the brokenhearted. You restore broken relationships. You can come into situations that seem hopelessly helpless. And yet, Lord, you can heal up relationships, Lord. Thank you for that, Lord. And thank you for what you've done for Val, for her mum and dad. Thank you for what you've done for Daniela, Lord. And we just ask you to bless them into 2016. This is going to be an even greater year of healing relationships and friendships. And we want to pray for Daniela, Lord, that her faith will grow and she will be baptized, Lord. And Val will have the joy of seeing her mum baptized in this new year, Lord. So do bless them as a couple, we pray, Lord. Amen. Amen. Ray. Ray, where's Ray? Ray recently did Freedom in Christ. And Ray is going to share some testimony from that. How's
that? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I was asked today to give testimony for 2015 and anything that occurred that was important to me. So what stuck out for me was a 13-week course I attended on Freedom in Christ this year. Anybody else attend that course at that time? Oh, yeah. Hi, guys. I had an idea what was meant by freedom in Christ, you know, free spiritually to worship the Lord our God. And I think, well, but what, yeah, I understand that. But if we look a little deeper into that, what it's really saying is to feel free to pray and worship the Lord without feeling guilty. I think that's what freedom in Christ is all about not feeling guilty. It's easy to feel guilt about our sins and to have doubts. I remember when I was a little boy, I always believed in God, ever since it was that high. And on one particular day, I said, oh, I really want a bike, Lord. I always asked him first, I really want a bike. And he got me one. And I was amazed I got this bike. And he got me this bike. I mean, I look back now and I think, well, he got me the bike, not because I'd asked him first, and not because I'd been particularly good that year. He got me that bike because he knew I loved him. And that's the reason, I think, why he got me the bike. So I've always known the Lord my God all my life. But it's Satan's plan, really, to keep you in a guilty state of mind. And his tactics are simple. Doubt, meaning question God's word. Discouragement, making you look at your problems. Diversion, making wrong decisions seem attractive. Defeat, making you feel like a failure and not worthy. And delay and procrastination, making you put off something so that it never ever gets done. And as Abraham Lincoln said, I believe the Bible is the best gift God has given to man and woman. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book. Now, there's lots of books in this Bible, but Satan in particular doesn't want us to read two of them. That's Genesis and Revelation. Genesis because we know where he comes from, and Revelation because we know where he's going. And so he tries to keep that away from us at all times. So with all of this in mind, I attended the course. And it gave me an opportunity to ask questions, you know, lots of questions, and air my doubts to fellow Christians and the leadership team without being judged. As the course progressed, one thing which was jaw-droppingly amazing for me, and if the course was to finish right there, that would have been enough for me, and that was that we are all saints, which was, I thought, what? Because being an ex-Catholic and hearing the word saint was kind of, hang on, what do you mean we're all saints? Which is quite incredible, you know, that I am a saint. We're all saints. Saints, not sinners. In the New Testament, the word sinner is used over 300 times, referring to unbelievers. The word saint is used over 200 times. The word saint means the holy one or righteous one. Even the youngest Christian is a saint, which is quite amazing, really, being a Catholic and thinking, hang on, even when I was little, I was a saint. And, you know, when you look, when you know God, of course, he's generous, and everybody's a saint who knows the Lord. So I grew up in the Catholic Church. So, but as I say, being an ex-Catholic, saints were like deity. They were they did miraculous works and deeds, and I would never be able to be a saint. So it was quite something. So I grew up in the Catholic Church, and my mother was a Catholic, and we were taught to pray to Mary, Mother of God, for our sins, and she will intercede on your behalf now. When I was little, I didn't believe that, and I don't believe it now. That just didn't ring true, because I was already praying to God, so why would I pray to Mary? Pray to God. Unfortunately, my mother died at 13, and I'd always promised to get out of the Catholic Church, because it never felt right for me. So I got out of Catholicism forever. I miss my mates in the church. It's true, you know, the Catholic Church is full of good people who do believe in God. It's the structure that's based on guilt. And it's true to say that Catholics, saints are saints. Not because of their miraculous works or their deeds, but because they love the Lord their God. And as Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So I came out. Played some sports. Enjoyed, didn't go to church for quite some time. Played some sports. Played American football for about 5 or 6 years to a good level. Quite a few thousands of people used to come and watch us. Good fun. Met Maria at that time at the my lovely wife over there. At the gym that I was attending. She was a good sprinter at the time, and we started to train together, fell in love, got married and moved south just in time to attend the Freedom in Christ course and to be set free to believe in Christ the Lord without feeling guilty. Thank you.
I got to pray for Saint Ray. Father, I want to thank you that in life you take us on journeys, Lord. And however old we get, Lord, there's still so much more to discover about your goodness and your greatness, and so much more depths of your word that we can, as it were, swim in and learn from and gain from, Lord. And I want to pray that as you've brought Ray to this new position now, in 2016, you'll take him even further. You'll bless him even more, Lord. And you discover even more truths about you, Lord. Will you bless him, we pray. And Maria and the family, in Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you. Sylvia and Paolo are going to share a testimony. But, oh, are you back now, Paolo? Oh, right. He was in with the children's work, so we didn't think he'd be here in time. So, Sylvia and Paolo, come.
I am. I'm Sylvia. The reason why I'm here is I've been a smoker since I was 18. And it did had a strong hold on me. I just could not make a way of not having a fag. Everything, it was an excuse. I need to have a fag. I just need to have a fag. I cried. I prayed. And I was angry at God. Why can't you just take away from me? And on the 20th of October 2015, prayer meeting nations, I felt this emptiness. I felt so low. I felt so, in a way, guilty as well, because I'm a person that loves helping everybody. And I remember I had to help Catherine. She was in holidays, and I commit myself to help her on Bez. And I had commit myself as well to help my boss at laundry, where I do just part-time, and help her as well on the same day. So I felt real, right, what do I do? Barbara wasn't at the meeting, Bill was. And I felt so, right, what do I do? What do I do? I couldn't pray, I couldn't join in, because the devil was kind of, ha, 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 no, here you are. You've got yourself in such a muddle, and how do you get yourself out? And I said, no. And I felt like I want a fag. Just want a cigarette at that time. And I said, I want to run and I want to smoke. And I didn't have no fags with me. And I said, I can't even do that, because I was ashamed of smoking around my brothers and sisters, because I know it was wrong in a way, because I've got Jesus with me. I don't need a fag. So I felt like, no, just calm yourself, Sylvia. And I had the courage to go to Bill and say, Bill, I'm so sorry, but I can't help Catherine. I can't be there. I had the key. Well, Bill had the keys, had everything ready. And I said, okay, I've got other people that are going to disappoint. I had your lovely wife, Kim. I had Catherine, Kim Bangi. I had lots of people. So the plan was, right, Bill, have you got phone numbers that I can't ring, and I'll commit to that? Can you ask Bob to do and help and somehow figure out how I'm going to get myself out of this mess? In the end, I just said, no, you know, I'm going to give it to God, and I'm going to trust God. And he did work with me in a way that when I finished, I went home with all the paperwork to ring people. And I went straight to One Stop, and North Busted. And as I was driving through the shop, I said, no, I'm not going to stop. I'm just not going to stop. I'm going to keep driving. And I was screaming at the car, and I said, devil, you do not hold me. Get out of this car. Get out of my life. Just go and flee. Flee away from me, because God loves me. God has won this battle, not you. And since then, I haven't touched a cigarette. I've been free. I haven't craved. And I believe in my heart it was God. It wasn't the willpower. It was God, because I haven't craved. I've been around smokers, and I actually feel disgusted being around them. I'm sorry, but I do. I feel, wow, I never realized that I smell like them. until God kind of just, woof, just cleaned myself. And amen. And I've got two verses that I've picked up from the Bible, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 17. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see that the deliverance, the Lord will give it to you. And then Psalms 33, verse 20, 21, 22. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Amen, dear Lord Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, main thing in here, I just want to show, well, you can see the power of God, you know, through the lives of some of you, but it's just, you know, cannot underestimate the power of God. Like, see how it did work, you know, with Sylvia this time. It worked with me some years ago. But that's a different story. And we all know. Yeah, because all these years I've been with Sylvia. I mean, since I met Sylvia, she was already a smoker. And I don't know, for many years of sort of waiting and praying, you know, for Sylvia to get delivered of this. And it was amazing to see the way it happened, through trials and tribulations, actually, you know, because Sylvia was going through that thing in that day. And, yeah, and then, you know, we had, people praying for us and doing, you know, and keep praying, you know, until this suddenly happens the way it did happen, you know, no cravings, no struggles, keep going back to smoking, or it was just, completely renewing of the mind, you know. And you can only see, you know, that's the power of God on it. Because when you do by your own, you just, I don't know, you're going to struggle for a while, go like cold turkey or this or that. But, you know, you end up struggling. But this time it wasn't. And you can see the power of God on it. Yeah, really, yeah.
Pray for you, pray for you both.
There's a lovely verse in the Bible that says, 'Tis for freedom that Christ has set us free. And Jesus can set us free from many different things, not just as Sylvia wanted to be set free from her smoking. Let's thank God. Father, thank you for Paolo and Sylvia. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in their lives, especially this year, this incident, Lord. And we want to pray that 2016 for them will be a year of even greater breakthroughs in all sorts of things, Lord. And we particularly want to pray for Paolo, for employment, that you'll help him this year to break through this whole barrier of getting a proper job, Lord, and that you'd bless them as a couple and take them on into even greater things, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you both.
For our last testimony,
I just want to read a verse that I was reminded of this morning. Our last one... Two more. I'll read that verse in a minute. Our next one is some of our grace works. You know, we've enjoyed this year having a number of different grace works, being involved in it. And Andy is going to share about his grace work in Ford Prison, which has been very exciting.
Is it not time to finish then? Okay, good. Thank you, Emma. Yes, Grace Works. Wonderful. It's amazing, isn't it? God is absolutely amazing. And when I look back in the past year about what's happened, and in terms of Ford Prison, I go into Ford Prison as a volunteer, but we didn't, as Grace Church, we might have gone in and done the occasional Sunday evening service previously. But from January 2015 onwards, it's been absolutely amazing. When I look back, I think, everyone who's involved in the prison ministry, put your hand up, who does anything to do with going into Ford Prison, caring for ex-offenders, and all that sort of stuff. And it's not just this site, it's not just Bognor, it's also Chichester and Midhurst people involved. And it's not just Midhurst, Chichester and Bognor, it's also other churches in terms of the Methodist Church in Chichester, lots of churches in Littlehampton, part of the prison fellowship. So it's actually, wow, God is doing all this amazing stuff and it's completely out of our hands. All we have to do is turn up and be part of it. And it's really great. And so we've done Alpha. We did Prison Alpha in January. We had about 30 prisoners attend, about 12 or so gave their lives to Jesus. That led into a beta course, as we call it, discipleship course, which then led into life group, which we've been doing ever since. So we've never actually not been in prison. in a good way. We do get out, fortunately. So we've done that, and it's continued. And guess what? This January, we're going to start Alpha again and do another Alpha, and it would lead into another beta, which would lead into life group again. And it's like, wow, this is just so amazing. And if you want to be part of it, be part of it. Because what I've learned, that and Word Plus happened this year as well. Who's doing Word Plus? Which is a theological training for 2 years. And that's not just Chichester or Bognor and Midhurst. It's also all the churches in our region, in the eastern region of Commission for New Frontiers, about 7 or 8 churches. And there's 100 people doing Word Plus. And I'm part of the sort of setup on that. And it's like 30 people from Grace Church go to Word Plus. So, and that's people being trained in the church to understand the Bible and be able to teach. Who knows what that will do? I don't know. And chances are those people who are doing Word Plus are also going to prison. And who knows what conversations you're having with the prisoners or what conversations I'm having with the prisoners. It's just so amazing. And it's because what God is saying, I think, for me personally, was, Andy, there's an opportunity. Are you going to step up and do it? That's what he gave to me, the opportunity. And you know what? It's a challenge, isn't it? Do we step forward into that challenge and take it and grasp it and go with it? Because when we go with it and grow with it, we do grow with it and we move forward. And it's just absolutely amazing and wonderful. Thank you.
He was getting closer to me at that time. I thought, what's he going to get me to do next? Father, thank you for Andy. Thank you. He stepped into this wonderful opportunity. And Lord, it's been such a blessing this year, Lord. And who knows where 2016 is going to take him, Lord, and the church. And Lord, we just want to pray for this prison work especially. We ask you to really bless this work, bless those that are involved. And we pray, Lord, that it will be a real blessing to many of these who are stuck away there, Lord. It's a horrible place to have to be for day after day, week after week, month after month, some for years, Lord. But I pray that the light of Jesus will come into these lives, Lord, and many will be blessed and many will come to know you. And Lord, thank you that you're using people from Grace Church to be involved in this, Lord. So do bless Andy and the teams he's got and really encourage them and prosper them this year, we pray, Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you, Andy. It's exciting, isn't it? We have one more. And as I was thinking about, you know, we've gone through new Christians, we've gone through people who've been quite a few years in the Christian faith and then into grace work, serving God in different ways. And now we want to celebrate God's goodness to us over the years. You know, and there's a verse I was thinking of this morning. Even to your old age and grey hairs, I am he who will sustain you. I have made you and I will carry you. I will sustain you and I will rescue you. Which is, I know, a word that Molly and I have really enjoyed over these years as we've got a little bit more senior in our lives. And so our last one tonight is Ted. Welcome, Ted. And Ted's going to share. And Barbara, lovely. Ted and Barbara are going to share about God's faithfulness to them in their maturer years.
Thank you, John. Oh, wow. Tell you what, this morning I really felt blessed to be in this church. We moved from Devon. We'd been there 30 years. Beautiful place. Quite happy there. I was not ready for God to move us on, but through different circumstances that happened, we've had this enormous change in our lives. We became Christians there. We got involved in ministry in the different churches, and I loved it. I loved it. You know, I wasn't ready. But it reminds me of that song, He Gives and Takes Away. But He takes away and then He gives even more. You just got to let go. And I felt this morning I really let go of what was. And I've entered into this new time in our lives, this new season, which is so exciting. We've had quite a lot of challenges on the way. But God saw us through each and every one. we've had lots of blessings in 2015. We had miraculous healings, both of us. Ted had a stroke, and he's recovered marvelously well through this last year. Yeah, and at the end of 2014, I had no idea, but I was diagnosed with cancer, and I had to have a 5.5 operation to remove it. And even the doctors would say, how come you've recovered so quickly and so well? I mean, 3 days after the operation, I was able to walk up the stairs in the hospital. And they were just amazed. So we give God praise for the healings he's given us. And the most amazing blessing actually is finding Grace Church, because we started looking, I suppose it was about 8 months ago. We actually moved last April. So anyway, it's, yeah, last April. And settled down for a bit, got unpacked and started looking for a church. We came here and we've never felt to look anywhere else. We just see God's blessing on it all. I see his favor on it all. I just know he's taking this church into the most exciting times in this new year. So anyway, this is just a chance up here to say thank you very much for welcoming us so beautifully, for loving on us and encouraging us to get involved again in serving God in this place. Bless you.
Praise the Lord. I'd like very briefly to talk about not so much a testimony as a prophecy. As Barbara said, we lived in Devon, and in 2003, we were living in a little village, and I'd spent most of my life in the music business. I was 63 years old then, in 2003. I'd been a performer, then a recording engineer, and then a manufacturer of equipment for recording studios and radio stations. And I was still running a little equipment company from our little place down in Devon. And it wasn't going too well, mainly because most of my business was in America. And this was just after 9/11, and everything in America all went wrong in 2001. Anyway, but Barbara and I, we continued to play and lead worship in Christian fellowships around South Devon, and we attended meetings and conferences. Now, in August in 2003, we were at a conference at Revival Fires up in Dudley, the pastor, Trevor Baker. And he'd called out people for prayer, and we were in a group of people, sort of standing in one of the aisles there. And Trevor, the pastor, came up to me, and he looked at me, and he said, "Sounds, I can see you creating new." Sorry about that. "I can see you creating new sounds." And that was it. And I had no idea what he meant, except that I naturally assumed that it was to do with music or playing or recording or something like that. And I don't remember how long it was, but I was doing a recording of a small choir. And during the night, I had a strong thought. It was almost an audible word, but not quite. This was an idea that came into my head, that there was a better way of listening to sound. And it was a technical idea to do with the way loudspeakers work and the way we hear sounds. And the whole idea, as it came to me, was complete. It was absolute. And I could see exactly the way to do it. And the next day, I actually made a prototype of a new type of loudspeaker. And I knew that it would produce spatial sound, stereo sound, from a single loudspeaker. And it worked. And to cut the long story very, very short, after about a year's effort, I managed to get some financial backing from the City of London, and I started a loudspeaker company called Orbit Sound. And the business grew hugely, and now it's being run from an office in London by our son, Daniel. And oh, and you can buy the loudspeakers in John Lewis, by the way. So you see, it's not really a story. It's not exactly a story of sort of blessings in the year, but it's a sort of an ongoing process, and it's a story of how God continues to be good, and how a prophecy that was completely unexpected, it was passed to me, and it was fulfilled. Thank you.
Father, we thank you for Ted and Barbara. Thank you for bringing them into our church family. Thank you. They didn't look elsewhere, but they looked at us, and they stuck. And we thank you for that, Lord, and we love them being with us. Thank you for the tremendous gifts you've given them. Thank you for blessing Ted with his business, Lord. Thank you for these ideas you gave him. And thank you for the way you've blessed them, Lord. And I want to pray that as they've settled now, for 2016 will be a great year of growth for them, Lord. A great year of making music in their own hearts as well as in the church and in other ways. And I want to pray you'll mightily bless them as a couple. Thank you for healing them. Thank you for health and strength you've done miraculously for them. Keep them well this year, we pray as well, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you. It's great. We're going to go into a time of worship now. We're going to turn some of these good stories that we've heard into praise. In Joshua 13:1, when Joshua was old and well advanced in years, God said to him, "You're old, but there is still very large areas of land to be taken over." And then he listed all the areas that Joshua, the children of Israel, had to still take over. And as I was thinking about today, these last couple of weeks, I thought of this verse: there is still much more land yet to be possessed, yet to be taken over. You know, we've heard some tremendous breakthroughs. We've heard some tremendous stories, hopes and dreams, things that have come to people's hearts, things that happened in people's lives. And I felt God say to me, "Yeah, but you know, there's a lot more."
Amen.
These have been tasters. This has been a year of tasters for so many of us of the goodness of God. Now let's believe him for the so much more. And I want to just close by, as we go into worship, it's not a negative word, by the way, of saying, "Well, you know, you haven't done enough." There's nothing like that. I think it's a very positive word. Yeah, you've done a lot. You've gained a lot. But there's still a lot more, because our God is the God of the so much more.
Hallelujah.
And it was Paul's prayer in the book of Ephesians that I want to finish with. He says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long, how high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." And then he says, "Now to him who's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church, in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen."